Welcome to the podcast of New Creation Christian Center, the path to genuine life where you can come as you are and be transformed by the Word of God. My name is Pastor Marquise, and we are a non-denominational church led by the living and active Word of God in the heart of Seattle, Washington, by Pastors Harold and Annis Faye Franklin. Whether this is your first time, second time, be sure to subscribe and share this with those that need it. Now join me and be ready to live and learn from the Word of God.
To be able to share a word that God has placed in your heart. As I was getting ready for this sermon, I do as I always do. I'm saying, God, what do you want me to talk about? And I had just had a moment before. I was holding my newborn daughter, and I was looking at her. And, you know, sometimes as parents, we get restless, right? And sometimes what begins to happen is we get worried about what's going to happen. So I had one of those moments. I got a little teary-eyed, and I was like, man, well, God, I need you to help me take care of this child. It's another child. You know, it was kind of that moment. It was like, okay, now it's clicking in. The baby was born, hallelujah, healthy, amen. But now it's time to take care of her. And not only her, but obviously my other children. And when I was thinking about it, I was like, God, how am I going to do this? I don't want to be, you know, just, I want to make sure that they're taken care of, that they don't miss out on anything that they should have, right? And I think all of us as good parents, we have those moments. But what God told me to do in that moment, and this is actually like right after he told me this, I was able to get the sermon that I was going to preach. And he said, rest in me. Trust that I can take care of you and your family. Amen. The Bible says that the righteous will never be forsaken or their seed begging bread. Amen. So instead of becoming restless in what's going on and how am I going to do this, how am I going to do that? I mean, and there's nothing wrong with making plans. I just want to tell you, the Bible even tells you, if you don't make a plan, you're foolish, right? So make plans, but also trust that God can enhance the plans that you have. Amen? So he just told me to rest in God, and I was like, okay, good. That's the topic of today's sermon, resting in God. I'm excited because a lot of times what God does is he confirms it. I had a friend that lives in Alaska. And my radio show is on his station, and he hasn't been doing the station for a while, so he actually came to Seattle, and I didn't even get to meet him because it was in the thing of Precious getting ready to have a baby and all that. And I was like, I don't know when I can go link up. So we didn't get to meet, but we were texting each other, and he was just like, God has him in this place of resting in him. You know, and I was like, man, it's so crazy because that's what I'm going to talk about. He was just like, what happens is you begin to be refreshed, and God can take you to that next level when you are resting in God. Amen? So let us pray. Heavenly Father, I just come before you. Dear God, thanking you for this time. Thanking you for this day. Thanking you for the sermon, oh God, that you placed in my heart. God, I pray to God that it would increase my rest in you, but also increase everybody that hears it, their rest in you, oh God, and that they would know, dear God, that they can trust in you. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Amen. I think one of the most important things about resting in God is knowing that God is a great Father. Amen. Right? There's plenty of scriptures that we can look up that talks about God being the Father. God was such a great Father that Jesus was willing to die to satisfy his Father. Did you know that? Yep. That's why Jesus came, because God was a great, and not was, because God, he is. Amen. He is forevermore. But Jesus loved God so much, and God was such a great Father that Jesus took off his eternalness for a second. Right? He took off all the glory that he had being God. Because a lot of people, sometimes we get lost and, oh, Jesus was just the Son. No, Jesus was God as well. But he humbled himself, went down to earth, spent all the time that he spent, 34, 33 years or so, to honor his father. Amen. So we know that Jesus knew that God was a great father. And how do we know this? Even when Jesus didn't want to do things, he said, nevertheless, I'm going to do what your will is. Why? Because he knows that God has his best interest in mind. Amen? Did you know that God has the best for you? God is not trying to say, oh, well, let's just give them a... We'll give Johnny over here an A grade. Let's give him the D grade. Right? God is not like that. The Bible tells us that God wants the best for us. It says in Jeremiah 29:11, for I know the plans that I have for you, says the Lord. Says God the Lord. This is what God says. Plans to prosper you, not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. Amen? Amen. And if you look at the Bible, the theme of the Bible really was, and some people think, oh, this is, what do they call it, a prosperity message. But when you were obeying God, he would allow you to succeed. It said in Joshua 1, he said he will give them good success if they be strong and courageous and meditate on the word of God day and night, keeping his laws and his statutes. So what does this show us? God is a God that is a great father, right? So when sometimes we look at God only as a disciplinary, right? Have we all, who ever looked at God like that? Sometimes we look at God, oh man, God is just out to get me, right? What we have to do is begin to know that God is not just out to get you. Right? God is not just the person that's going to spank you and then everything else in your life, he's not there. No, God is there in the good and the bad. But then guess what? Even during the times where you are being corrected, it says God loves you so much that he will correct you. There's some fathers that don't love their children because they won't correct their children. Right? And that doesn't, we always got to say this because some people go home and be like, they said correct them. I'm going to correct them. Correct them doesn't always mean whoopings. I was having a conversation with another father. I was like, sometimes you just have to speak to them and they'll get it. Right? Yep. And every time they do something wrong, it's not an opportunity to whoop them. Sometimes you have to do that when they've kind of went past the mark. Right? But whooping is not the only option. There's other options. And God, he's not just a whooping God. Okay? That sounds funny. But some people think he's only out to discipline us. But he is there to love us. Amen? So we can learn a lot when we understand who God is. We can rest in God when we understand that he is a loving God. People, a lot of people, they cannot rest in God because all they think is God is trying to ruin their lives, allow them to no longer have a great social life. They have to give everything up, and that's it. That's because they haven't understood who the Father is. God the Father is not somebody that's just going to take everything away from you. He's actually giving you things. Amen? And the number one thing is, Jesus said he has come to give you life, and life more abundantly. Amen? Amen? So that's important that we understand who God is in order to rest in God. Amen? Have you ever been in some people's houses? You go to their house and you can take a nap anytime. There's just peace in the house. Right? But then you go to other houses and you can't even sit still. I gotta go. Something's not right. Why? Because you understood or understand the atmosphere in that place. When you understand the atmosphere of God, you'll be willing to rest in God. Amen? Amen. Let's go to Matthew 11:28-30. Matthew 11:28-30. And it says this. Matter of fact, let me do something my dad does. Let's go to verse 25.
And it says, at that time, Jesus answered and said, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and prudent and have revealed them to babes. So look, one thing that I can look at about God here is God is the revealer. All right? See, a lot of us don't understand how to rest because we haven't allowed God to reveal it in our lives. One way to get something taught, when I think of revealed, that's like, oh, we show it to you. We're showing you something new. You have to spend time with God to be able to see that newness. Amen? That's why it's important to have a prayer life. That's why it's important to spend time in the Word of God. Because the more you spend with God, the more God will reveal to you. Amen? This is like your friends. When you make friends, and this is where some people that are making friends, you don't tell your friends the very first day everything about you. Right? Why? Because you don't know them yet. But as you spend more time with them, more and more things begin to be revealed. You're like, oh man, I didn't know that about you. Yeah, we've been friends for how long? You know, okay, well, that's cool. You know, what happens is you begin to learn one another, and that's what happens when you spend time with God and His Word, which is God. Amen? So as we spend that time, God is going to reveal Himself to us. And this is, it's important to understand because it says even, you have hidden these things from the wise and prudent and have revealed them to babes. Why? Because when you think about babies, I know about them right now. Babies want to be held 24/7. Right? If you put the baby down in the bed, we try this. If you put the baby down in their crib or bed for the whole night, they're not going to be comfortable. If you hold the baby all night, they'll be comfortable. Right? And it's funny, but I mean, we're laughing about this, but that's the heart of babies. Babies want to be next to their parents or next to whoever is guarding them. Amen? So it's the same with God. He's not going to reveal it to somebody that thinks they know it and think they can find it on their own. Those are the wise. Those are the prudent. I don't need your help. I can find this thing out. They're not going to find out about who God is. They're not going to be revealed, or God is not going to reveal Himself to them because they're looking in the wrong place or looking with the wrong attitude. One thing about a baby, the baby knows that it is helpless without you. Right? That's why the babies are crying and screaming. Because they say, hey, I need help. Right? And in the Bible is clear. It talks about, a lot of times, it talks about don't hinder the children from coming to God. Why? Because kids usually are a lot, they're quicker to tell you that they need help than adults are. When you become an adult, I can find it. I'm not lost. You know, hey, here's the instructions. Who needs the instructions? I can figure this thing out, right? We all have been guilty of that. We're building something, fixing something. I don't need the instructions. I look out. I can do it. That's because we become wise in our own eyes. And how many have tried to build something? You build it and it didn't work out, and you had to go back to the instructions. Right? It's the same thing in life. A lot of times, one thing that I wanted to say about this, and I'm going to continue reading this, is a lot of times we are like quarterbacks scrambling. And when I say scrambling, why do quarterbacks scramble? Because the play has broken down. Right? Usually a quarterback is scrambling because the play that they had didn't work. So now they're trying to make it work. Right? We do the same thing. Sometimes God gives us a play. We try to run it. Right? And it doesn't work out the way it is. So now we're like, oh God, I'm going to just do it myself. Let me figure this thing out, God. But what we begin to do is we no longer rest in God. Now we're trying to do it in our own strength. And that will get you nowhere. Somebody say nowhere. Let's continue reading. It says, even so, Father, for so it seemed good in your sight. All things have been delivered to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father. Nor does anyone know the Father except the Son, and the one whom the Son wills to reveal him. So not only does God reveal, but Jesus reveals. Then it says, not only will you, Jesus, if you knew Jesus, you know the Father, but if you know the Father, you will also know Jesus. Okay? So once again, he's a revealer, and it's pretty much the same thing. He's revealing. But then I like this verse. It says, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Now, it's interesting. Jesus talked with people there back then because how many know people back then were still caught up in their jobs? Right? It said, come to me, all you who labor. Right? Now, labor, it's funny because we think labor was a result of sin. Right? Oh, now Adam's going to have to work. But let me actually, if we look in Genesis, Adam was working before that. Amen. Right? His labor wasn't as tedious. He didn't have to get fruit. Fruit was just growing. And I don't think, you know, and I'm just thinking about this right here. I don't know how the garden stopped growing fruit so fast where Adam started had to start making, but it was because things started to die on the earth. You know, I think that as we get older, we get to see more and more things on the earth dying as a result of sin. You know, some people just think it was human death, but that's why there's so many things going on this earth. Hurricanes, floods, all that, that wasn't something that was happening, but that is a result of sin. Amen? So the world is even saying, hey, I don't have as much land as I used to have. Oh, this part is going underwater. Why? Because the world is a world that was, the Garden of Eden was shut down. Why? Because God was tilling the garden by his word. Amen? But labor, we all labor. Some people, I pick up people this week, and I can have a story every day by picking up these people in this car. Some people, they work all day long. Right? Oh, I've been working 15 hours today, and I'm just so glad to go home. Do you like what you do? No. But I had to get it done. You know, like, I'm excited when I find somebody that really enjoys what they do. I talked to a person, he started his own video game business. He had worked on some big video games, and him and some buddies were making their own video games, and he was like, this is what I wanted to do. So he's like, man, I don't say I'm going to the job, I say I go to the office, and he's trying to change his lingo, because he just started, and he was like, man, I enjoy that. Why? And I always tell people it's important to enjoy your labor, because if you don't enjoy it, you're going to be worn out, tired, don't want to go to work. How many of us had a job that we did not want to go to? Right? Why? Because we hated it. Right? As soon as the top clock said time to go, we didn't ask the supervisor. I'm off. I'm going to catch you guys maybe tomorrow if I'm feeling up to it. But when I look at this scripture, there's a lot of people who are laboring and heavy laden. What does heavy laden mean? Could be depressed. They're carrying too much. Let's look at it in the Amplified. It says, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden and overburdened, and I will cause you to rest. I will ease and relieve and refresh your soul. Amen? This is important thing about resting
in God. See, I can have that same job that everybody else has, even if I don't like it. If I learn to rest in God, He will allow it to become easier. Right? Now, I'm not going to tell you that you go to work and you just sit on the desk and it's easy button. How are you doing today? Easy button. That's not how it's going to work. He's going to refresh you. A lot of people go on vacations to be refreshed. You know, this is a sign of a bad vacation. If you go on vacation and you're more tired and drained than when you left, that's a bad thing. Right? Because vacations are supposed to be relaxing, refreshing. Our spiritual journey with God should have that same impact. Our relationship with God, we should have times where we just rest in God. Amen? What does that look like? Resting in God. That doesn't mean sleeping, right? But it means just saying, okay, God, I'm going to let you hold me right now. God, I always tell people this. The Bible says, do not be in a rush to get wealth. Right? I know some people that are rushing to get wealth. They're going to do any and everything to get some more money. What I've learned to do is, if it ain't meant to be, I don't need it. I'm not going to, my dad told me when we started our business, to make sure we had time that we had set aside to be off, right? So some people call me and say, hey, the only day I can do it is on that day. I said, well, I'm not doing it. That's my day off. So we're going to have to find another day or you're going to have to find somebody else. Now, some people will be like, Marquise, that's not smart business. Another guy that ran an insurance company, what he told me was, he was like, don't run your business like a business. Right? Meaning, what time is it off? Oh, whatever time I need to get off. No. Have set hours so people respect your time. People don't respect your time if they can come to you at any time. Right? And I don't know why I said all that. But what I'm trying to say is, when you rest in God, you trust in God that He's going to take care of you. Amen? Hallelujah. Let's go to Jeremiah 17, 5 through 11. It's funny, I'm not even reading my notes and I'm going through them, so that's good. Jeremiah 17, 5 through 11. Kayla read some of my notes, so she knew what I was going to talk about, huh? Did you remember? It says, Let's get into the New King James Version. It says, thus says the Lord, cursed is the man who trusts in man and makes flesh his strength, whose heart departs from the Lord. Now I can break this down, and I want to break this down. A lot of times when you begin to trust in man, as the scripture said, your heart is departing from the Lord. The reason why God is so that you can learn to trust in God. I think that's the most important thing about being a believer, is learning to trust in God. Abraham, I talked about this on my radio show. Abraham had to learn how to trust God even after God told him what was going to happen. Right? God said, okay, Abraham, leave this land. I'm going to make you the father of many nations. The song goes, Father Abraham had many sons, right? And many sons had Father Abraham, and I am one of them, and so are you. Yes, sir. So let's just praise the Lord. But guess what? As happy as that song was, Abraham didn't have kids for 25 years. Right? But during that time, God taught him how to trust in God. Amen? And a lot of times, our topic of the day was not being anxious. A lot of times, God will show us the end result. He'll tell you, okay, Pastor Harold, you're going to start a church, and this is what's going to happen. He's giving you the vision, but now you're doing the walking to the vision. You're walking to the promised land. hey, guess what? There's a wilderness on the way. Right? It took the Israelites 40 years because they learned not to trust in God. You guys catch that? They were going to the promised land. This is funny.
They were going to the promised land. God promised them that they're going to go to this land, but because of their disbelief, they didn't even make it.
Because they didn't learn to rest in God. And some people will be like, well, if God would just do this, I would trust him. If God would do this, man, God was a fire at night for them. I mean, I don't see anywhere in the world where you see a pillar of fire just following you to keep you warm for 40 years. Come on, man.
Then in order to keep them from blazing hot, he was a cloud in the day.
Then, if you're hungry, I'm going to rain down manna.
I'm going to cause quail to just fall out the sky, and you can have a bird fry. Then, if you're thirsty,
I can make rocks. This is all the stuff that God did to show them who he was. And then even the people that tried to tell him, let's go back, he killed.
So these are the same people that are saying, well, if God would just show me, God shows himself to everyone. This is why it's important that we understand to trust God. See, a lot of us have seen God work, but just seeing God work is not what it's going to take to make you a believer. What's going to make you a believer is having faith in God. The Bible says it is impossible to please God without faith.
It's impossible to have a relationship with God if you don't have faith that he is able to do what his word says.
Amen? It's impossible. Let's keep on reading. It says, for he shall be like a shrub in the desert and shall not see when good comes. This is the person that trusts in himself or trusts in flesh. See, a lot of people, they don't even trust in themselves, but they trust in other people. Right?
Oh, if I could just call Bill Gates. I know he's a billionaire. Can I hold some, Bill? Can I hold a couple bills, Bill? Right? We put our trust in these people. We put our trust in jobs. That's putting your trust in flesh.
We put our trust in money. That's putting your trust in flesh. So we must not do that. We must put our trust in God. As my dad said earlier, as the world constantly has recessions, I get emails that say, take all your money out of stock, it's going to crash. You get these people saying, do this, do that. Why? Because they have learned to trust in those things. Right? But I was talking to a businessman, and it's funny. Sometimes the people in the world have more faith than the people in the body of Christ. I was talking to a stockbroker, and he was like, you got to put in big to win big. He's like, I put in all one time and lost everything. He's like, that was one of the worst times of my life. But guess what? He's still investing. Right? And any investment you make is not guaranteed a return. That's why it's called investing. You hope it's going to bring you a return. And I mean, now this guy, I ain't going to tell you where it is. But anyway, now what happens is some people expect a return on their investment.
I'm going to tell you this. The only place you can automatically get a return on your investment is when you put your trust in God. Okay?
You put your trust in God, it's an automatic return on your investment.
Now, like some stocks, like some investments, it is not right away.
Right? I put my money in some stock companies, and it takes forever to get money back. And some, I take my money out, and then 2 years later, I look at it and be like, man, I should have kept my money in there. Why?
Because it took time. It's going to take time to see the return on the investment when you trust or when you rest in God. Amen?
Let's look at verse 7. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord and whose hope is the Lord. So if we want to be blessed, I'm not making this up, or we didn't add anything to it. If you want to be blessed, you must trust in the Lord. And if you want to be blessed, you have to hope in the Lord. Okay? For he shall be, this is that he, that person that trusts and hopes in God, shall be like a tree planted by the waters, which spreads out its roots by the river, and will not fear when heat comes, but its leaf will be green, and will not be anxious in the year of drought, nor will cease from yielding fruit. Says the heart is deceitfully above all things. I'm sorry, the heart is deceitful above all things, and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Now let's stop there. Your heart is wicked. Christians, our hearts are wicked. Okay? Now, nobody likes hearing. I mean, if I went to a church out of the blue, they didn't know who I was, and I just started, all y'all are wicked. They're not going to like that. Right? But our hearts are wicked, and we have to learn who God is. We have to learn to trust in God. That's why you can't trust your own heart. Your own heart is going to trick you. It says deceitful. What does deceitful mean? Deceitfulness is the same thing that the devil used to trick Eve and Adam into eating the fruit. Deceit. Your heart will trick you. So that's why it says in verse 10, I, the Lord, search the heart. When we learn to rest in God, he searches and reveals. This is the thing about being a believer in Christ. The more you spend time with God, the more he's going to reveal to you what you need to surrender to him. Right? It says, I, the Lord, search the heart. I test the mind, even to give every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his doing. All right? And I'll stop there. But it's important to put our trust in God. It's important to rest in God and not try to rest in all our own doings. And not only that, it's important that our heart is constantly yielding to God so that he can tell us, okay, we know what's going on in our hearts, right? We know what's going on in our hearts. That's why it's important to say, look, as Psalms 51 says, create in me a clean heart and renew a right spirit within me. David, I know that he only said it in that psalm, but I'm pretty sure he had a lifestyle of saying that to God. Why? Because I do. I'm saying, God, constantly clean my heart. If there's something wrong in me, get it out, God, so that I can be pleasing to you. That's the part of a relationship. If I only say I love my wife one time for the rest of our lives as being married people, guess what? It's not going to be a good marriage. Right? Why? A lot of times some of us just throw the word love around, but that shows what our heart is. My heart, when I tell my wife I love her, or even when I tell my family and my kids I love them, it's saying, I want to be with you guys. I want to spend time with you. You guys are the most precious thing in my lives. Or you guys are the most precious. You are I started praying, God, make sure that my family is my prized possession. Not all these extra things that we get. Right? What does that mean? So if my kids break one of my CDs, God forbid, like Mario did this week, I don't be like, I'm going to get you. I have to realize there's some things, do what he said. There are some things that are not worth us arguing over. There's some things that are just going to happen. I remember we were at my aunt Diane's house one time, and I broke some vase or something, and I thought I was going to get it. And they were like, who broke it? And I'm sitting there, I broke it. I finally broke down and said, I broke it. And she was like, it's okay. And I was like, whoa.
I thought I was going to get it. Why? Because she realized that it wasn't really worth that much compared to your family.
Some of us put too much worth in what we have, and we don't realize the families that we have. Some of our gadgets, our phones and all that, they block us because we want to be with our iPads or our phones more than we want to be with our families. And that's dangerous. That's how your heart deceives you. I've got a few more scriptures. Psalms chapter 23. Let's go there. We're going to read through this. And then I have one after that, and we'll be done for the day. Amen. It says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. That's important. A lot of times people are moved by what they want in life. You guys ever notice that? Somebody that wants certain things, they're going to do anything they can to get it because they are in a state of want. It says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. All right. So one thing we have to understand about resting in God is we have to allow him to lead us. And when he leads us, it is no longer us trying to find our way. We just see, how many of you have been lost and tried to find your way, but when somebody comes and help you find that way, you feel a lot better. You can rest because, oh, this guy, he knows where he's going. Well, guess what? God knows where he's going. God knows what he created all of us for, and it's our job to learn to rest in him so he can show us the way. It says, yay. And some people will be like, why did he put yay? Or yeah, when he puts this, he says, yes, yay, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you, who is you? The shepherd are with me. So I tell my kids a lot of times when they say, hey, I'm scared of something. God is with you. You don't have to fear. Why? Because the Bible says that. A lot of times when we're scared of something, we're scared. Most of the time, we don't even know what we're scared of. But when we realize and say, hey, I'm not by myself. Next time you're scared of something, say, hey, God is with me. Why am I going to be scared of this? Now your mind is like, oh, yeah, that's right. God's with me. Well, I can go. Now, I'm not telling you to go do any dumb things. Don't go walking through people shooting each other and be like, God is with me. That's stupidity. You're not being led by God at that moment. You have to be led by God. Amen? It says, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. When I think about resting in God, we need to make this our dwelling place. It says, even in front of our enemies, even in front of the people that are hating on us, even in front of the people, and I don't know why church people think people are hating on them. They're hating on, they should be hating on the God in you. Not you. The Bible says they hated him, so they're going to hate you. Not because you are who you are, because some people think I'm just so good that I got haters. No. If it's just about you, then you're not resting in God. But it says, dwell in the house of the Lord. We have to make up in our hearts and in our minds that we're going to dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen? We have to make that. That's a peaceful house. When we think of a home, we want it to be a peaceful place. And dwelling in God makes it a peaceful place. Amen? Amen. Last scripture, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Verses 16 through 17. Blessings, son. 2 Thessalonians 2, 16 and 17. It says, Now may our Lord Jesus Christ, and this is like a benediction. Now may our Lord Jesus Christ himself and our God and Father, who has loved us and given us everlasting consolation and good hope by grace, comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work. All right. So we must allow. First of all, once again, we see in this scripture an understanding of who Jesus and God is in our lives. We understand that he loves us and he has given us, he's revealed to us, but he's also coaching us along the way. When you look at the word consolation, a lot of times consoling, that is to direct, that is to coach, that is to help walk in the right way. Amen? That's what God is doing. It says, let him understand who he is and comfort your hearts. And let God comfort your hearts as you are established in him in every good word and work. Amen? Amen. So as we continue to learn this week, as we hear this sermon, to rest in God, as we learn not only this week, but as we continue to move in God, to say, God, I'm going to rest in you because I want you to show me exactly what you have for me. God will do that. Amen. Amen. Heavenly Father, I thank you, dear God, for your word. I pray, dear God, that you would constantly allow us to rest in you. Dear God, with all the things that go on in this world, the things that will cause us to question what's going on, dear God, our bills, or just whatever's going on in our life, oh God, even if it's going good, we pray, dear God, that we would never put our trust in man or in ourselves, but we would always rest and put our trust and hope in you. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray that the church say, amen.
Thank you for spending time with us here at New Creation Christian Center. Feel free to join our worship services on Saturday at 7 p.m. and Sunday at 11 a.m. located at 5150 South Cloverdale Street, Seattle, Washington, 98118. Visit our website, newcreationwa.org. New Creation Christian Center, where you can come as you are and be transformed by the Word of God.